The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 to 68. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, to err is human. All people make mistakes. Some mistakes are not serious and may involve only a personal inconvenience, a loss of time, or a small loss of money. People make mistakes in telephone numbers, in addresses, and in the sums of addition. But some mistakes may be very costly. When the captain of the Titanic made the mistake of disregarding the iceberg warning, he made a mistake that cost hundreds of lives. When a big businessman or a banker makes a mistake, it may wipe out the savings of millions of dollars. However, the worst mistakes possible are made in the field of religion, because they involve not merely the physical side of man, but also the spiritual, and not merely time, but eternity. The worst mistake in religion is to ignore or underestimate Christ, the centre of time, the heart of the Christian religion, the saviour of the world. It is such a serious mistake because there is no salvation or sanctification without Christ. You are all aware of the scripture texts such as John chapter 14 verse 6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then we read the Acts chapter 4 verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Still, the mistake of underestimating or ignoring Christ is very common. It was made at the time of his earthly mission, as we read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a wine-bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" This was a partly correct and a partly incorrect estimate. Jesus was indeed a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but he was not a glutton and a drunkard. They knew who Jesus was, but they did not know his purpose. The mistake of underestimating Christ was made by the Jewish leaders. It has been made throughout the ages and is often made today. Therefore, on the basis of this section of the Passion story that was read, let us consider underestimating Christ. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, underestimating Christ, the Sanhedrin. Our text begins, "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." This gives us a historical setting. Who laid hands on Jesus? It was Judas and his band in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was then led to Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a council of 70 men composed of the best people among the Jews. They were Bible students, people of rank and standing, the highest churchmen. These very people mentioned in our text were in a position to form the correct opinion about Jesus. But because of personal prejudice and jealousy, they turned against Jesus and underestimated him in every way. This is plain at the trial of Jesus before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin underestimated Christ's perfect life and doctrine. Our text says, "Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two witnesses came forward and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' They sought by means of false witnesses to attack Jesus and his teachings. But they were having difficulty in having the lying witnesses agree. Then they misquoted John chapter 2 verse 19. Jesus had said, 'Raise it up,' which could be applied to his body, but they had said, 'Build it up,' referring to the statement of the building of the temple. They tried to accuse Jesus of lying, of making false statements, but failed. The challenge of Jesus was, 'Which of you convicts me of sin?' And this also stood the test. The Sanhedrin also underestimated his work as the Christ. Our text says, "But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.'" The name Christ, the Anointed, describes Jesus as to his work and his office. The Anointed, the Messiah, was to be the great prophet, priest, and king. These people ignored the testimony about Jesus. They ignored the angel's Christmas message. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." They ignored his wonderful work as a prophet of Galilee, teaching and preaching to the multitudes. They ignored his almighty power as king, Lord over every sickness, storm, the elements, and even death itself. They certainly did not look upon this humble Nazarene as the great high priest who would sacrifice himself for the sins of the whole world. They also underestimated Christ's person. Our text says, "I'll put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." The question of the high priest was not put for the purpose of getting information, but shows the attitude of these people. They did not consider him the Christ, and they did not consider him to be the Son of God either. The calm, direct answer of Jesus was, "It is as you said." This is a direct, open assertion of his deity. The actions of the high priest are stated in our text. "Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" The verdict of blasphemy shows plainly that they did not accept the words of Jesus. They underestimated and even condemned his claim to divine sonship. The high priest and the council also underestimated the power of Jesus. We read in our text, "Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who was the one who struck you?'" They thought they could do with Jesus just as they pleased. They thought they could abuse him, judge him, condemn him, and kill him. But see how wonderfully Jesus corrects them and warns them? Jesus develops the thought of the final judgment, the wonderful glory and the ascension of Jesus. He said to them, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." There can be no doubt that the Sanhedrin underestimated Christ, and there can be no doubt that they made a serious mistake in doing this. But the Sanhedrin were not the only ones to make this mistake. It has been made throughout the Christian era and is being also made today. Secondly, underestimating Christ with the people of today. We begin by looking at the time after Christ ascended to heaven. Serapis, in the days of John, denied the deity of Christ. And a few centuries later, Arians, under the leadership of Arius, denied the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, making him merely like God, and thus underestimating Jesus. During the Dark Middle Ages, when the errors of Rome became even more prominent, Jesus and his work were pushed into the background by the worship of Mary and work righteousness. The rationalists of the last century and even many present-day church people have elevated human reason and pushed Jesus into the background. Today, Jesus is not only underestimated, but ignored, yes, warred against by atheistic individuals, groups and governments. These enemies of Jesus, following in the footsteps of the Sanhedrin, are outspoken in their opposition to Jesus. But the real Sanhedrin of today are the people high in the councils of the Protestant churches, who under the guise of friendship underestimate and undermine Jesus. There are three popular views, which are all definitely underestimating Jesus Christ. Firstly, those who look upon Jesus as a harmless, ignorant Galilean, a poor, misguided individual who suffered from a mental disorder, thinking that he had great personal power. Secondly, those who look upon Jesus as a wonderful man, but merely as a man. These people fail to realize that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. If he was not, then he was a liar and therefore not a wonderful man. Sadly, even some Protestant clergy do not believe in Jesus' deity. Thirdly, those who look upon Jesus merely as a great teacher of morals and ethics, but not as a saviour from sin. This is a widespread view. People think they are honouring Christ, but they are underestimating him. Read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, coming to him as a living stone, but rejected indeed by men. We read in John chapter 1, we read in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And in 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 we read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood, not merely the teaching or the example of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from sin. So many so-called Christians therefore underestimate the person and the work of Christ. And we're also in danger of doing this. So thirdly, we consider underestimating Christ, you and I. As Lutheran Bible Christians, we may not deny Christ's work or the work of Christ for our salvation, but so often we do not take his word seriously enough. If we do not take his word seriously enough, if we try to shade it to suit ourselves, our whims and likes, we underestimate Christ the Lord. You and I are also in danger of underestimating Christ's work. We may say glibly the Lutheran teaching, the teaching of the Bible, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but so often there is much of the self-righteous spirit left in us. As soon as you rely upon your works just a little, you are underestimating Christ. You and I are in danger of us underestimating Christ and his word as the one great remedy for the ills of the world. The great one need of the unchurched masses of our land and the untold millions of ignorant heathen is to tell them about Christ. We have the Christ. There is no salvation without him. And yet, what are we doing to bring him to others? Let us therefore have the proper scriptural estimate of Christ, his person, his work, and his mission here in this world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.